Hey, super, super excited about being able to chat with you guys really quickly. I am going to be able to do this a few times a semester, which I'm really pumped about. Finally got some time in my schedule to work on this, so teaching isn't crazy overbearing on my workload. But this is something that excites me. You guys get to see a little bit more of my heart this semester than maybe you have before. And so for those of you who don't know me, this is my eighth year at campus ministry. I may look a little younger, but I only dress up like this on Monday nights, so don't be fooled. But I've seen a lot of really cool stuff happen in these 8 years of campus ministry. I've seen generations and generations of students sit in these seats, and when a lot of people ask me, what exactly do you do? Sometimes it's hard to tell them, because on paper, what do? I oversee some of the staff. I get to work with the interns. I get to take students all around the world. I get to have really cool conversations weekly with people coming in and out of my door. I get to experience life-on-life ministry with students who go and they graduate and then they go and change the world. That's on paper. What do I tell people when they ask me, what do you get to do in campus ministry? What sometimes doesn't always come to mind are some of the little, what I like to call, God moments. And I remember specific conversations and specific moments with certain students. The one girl who had never been on a plane ride before, but she signed up for the furthest mission trip that Encounter's ever done, ever in the history of missions. And she went across the world, and her mind was blown with what the kingdom of God looked like. I have conversations with a person coming into my office and saying, I always had this negative viewpoint towards homeless people. I always thought that they were dangerous, that I couldn't be around them. But the first time that I stepped foot into Home Sweet Home and got to serve at the soup kitchen there, my world was completely changed. I finally saw people through the eyes of how God sees them. I have little God moments like I had today when somebody saw that tonight was service and missions night, and I got a one simple little message saying, hey, thank you for pushing me to go on this mission trip 7 years ago. I wouldn't be the person I am today if I didn't go. Little God moments that happen every single year that I it's easy to forget. Because every year is jammed-packed with incredible moments, like this baptism with Chad, and the baptism with Morgan tonight, and Fall Retreat this weekend is going to be literally filled with God, these little God moments that I'm talking about. That sometimes when people ask me, Phil, what do you really do? I default to, well, I oversee this, and really, my job's pretty incredible. And the cool thing is that I wouldn't be sitting here today if somebody didn't take what the Word and what God called them to do seriously. I'm going to have you guys stand as we read the scripture. It's just one simple verse that I really want to pound in tonight. 1 Peter 2:9. It says, "For you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light." I'm going to have you close your eyes real quick as I read this over you. Soak in these words. I'm going to read it slow. You are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Have a seat. You see, I'm standing up here today because somebody took this seriously. Two people, in fact, took this seriously. I shared my story with some of you who were at last year's fall retreat, and we do not have nearly enough time for me to go into my whole full story. But what you need to know is that I grew up in the church, I have a great family, I had a great life, a very easy life. And by the time I got to high school, I took all that for granted, let it get to my head, and I was a jerk. I lived life for myself. I lived life to have girlfriends, to be popular, to really just live a selfish life. Got everything I ever wanted, did anything I ever wanted, had no consequences to anything in my life. So when you live your life like that, obviously something's not connected between you and God. So I said, you know what, God, I'm kind of put you over there. I know who you are. I know my parents love you. I'm just going to let you do that. So by the time college comes, I get accepted to a lot of colleges, end up going to the University of Minnesota. I go there. I'm the only person from my town there. I have the opportunity for the first time in my life to start something new, to say, hey, this was my life before. I was a jerk. I lived for myself. This is how people knew me. I almost felt like I needed to live up to those expectations. I have the opportunity now to start over. I go away 600 miles to the University of Minnesota and do not start over new. Completely follow the same exact thing that I was doing, partying and drinking and girls and manipulating people. And that was my life for first semester. And I kind of faked my way through it all with friends who I thought were my friends and girls who I thought that liked me. And November came of that year, and I was in the house that I was living in and heard the smoke alarm go off, thinking that it was my roommates burning their dinner again, when in all actuality, there was a fire in my house. And I walked downstairs and walked outside, and my house burned down in front of my eyes. 18 years old, 600 miles away from home, completely lost everything that I had. That was the first time that anything had ever gone wrong in my life. And what happened is those friends who I thought were my friends, these girls who I thought were interested in me, these people who I thought I could count on, slowly, one by one, were turning their back on me when I reached out and actually needed someone to be there for me. Except for these two guys, Tim and Greg. I met Greg at a summer camp a few years before when I was in high school. Literally, he was the only single person that I knew at that school when I got there. And I reached out to him, this one little meager connection that I was desperately trying to seek out. And he said, dude, come over. So I went over there, and he literally did the very least that he could do, the very thing that God calls us to do. He clothed me, he housed me, he fed me. I ended up sleeping on his couch for the rest of the semester to finish off school that semester. And that whole time, Greg and Tim were intentional with me. What it says here, what it said here in this, in the scripture was that you have the opportunity to show God's goodness. To show God's goodness. What I experienced those few months after this fire was nothing extraordinary, nothing crazy, nothing pushy, nothing preachy. It was God's goodness. And I had no idea what landed right in front of my lap. And after those first few months of getting to know these guys, for the first time, people got to know me, not because they wanted something out of me, not because of my reputation, not because of what they think I could give to them. They got to know me because they took this calling seriously of what it looked like to show God's goodness. I went on a spring break trip with them that year, that spring that they invited me to. And said, you know what, these two are the only real dudes that I've ever met in my life, maybe. So I'm going to trust them. And I go on that trip, and that trip completely broke me in every single way possible. Everything that I thought that I knew about the world or about myself or how I thought that I could rely on my own will and my own talents and everything was just completely broken. And on a bus full of 40 people in my life, they shared with me the gospel simply. That I have a creator who loves me so much that all this pain and this abandonment and this emptiness that I feel, he desires so much more for me. He loves me so much that he sent his son to die for me so that I may have eternal life and freedom in him. The most simplest way I've ever heard the gospel, and on that bus full of 40 people, I accepted Jesus into my life for the first time, really. Because they took this calling of sharing his goodness with me. You see, this is what happens. We've been talking this whole semester that grace leads us, will always lead us to something. Tim and Greg understood this grace. It was annoying when I reached out to them. It was 11:45 at night. They were probably sleeping on a Thursday night, getting ready for that 8 a.m. class the next morning. And when I gave them that phone call, my temptation would have been to click ignore. But they didn't. You see, what happens is that they understood that this grace thing. They understood that they were broken, normal, regular, unchurched people. They were normal people that were chasing after this idea that God wanted to use them. God has this tendency to use normal dudes to change the world. They accepted that. And what happened is they got moved from this place of complacency, of excuses, of comfortableness. Enough for Greg to pick up that phone that night and say, "Hey, dude, what's up? It's 11:45. Are you okay?" And I said, "Actually, no, I'm not. For the first time in my life, I'm not okay." And he said, "I'm on my way." Grace leads to that. Grace leads to his mission. And we have this idea, I think, if you've grown up in the church or if you've been around this, maybe this culture for a while, that the church is the vessel for what God's going to use to save the world. And for most people, that sounds intimidating. That sounds incredibly intimidating. Because I know many of you in this chair have used the excuse, "Well, I don't know enough about the Bible. Well, I've only been a Christian for about 2 months. Well, I'm not really good at speaking in front of people. I'm going to let other people save the world for the kingdom of God." But the beautiful thing that I learned through Greg and through Tim's investment in me is that it's simple. All it took for Greg was to click accept to that call for him to show his goodness. And that led to an amazing relationship of restoration and healing. You see, the goodness of God, what it's talking about here in 1 Peter, when it says, "You can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." The goodness of God will always lead to healing. The goodness of God will always lead to restoration. The goodness of God will always lead to growth. Grace leads us to sharing the goodness of God. The beautiful thing about what we read here in this one single verse that is just packed, I wish I could just spend hours and hours unpacking this verse, is that you are called out as a holy nation. This idea that you are God's very own possession. Think about the creator of the universe. You're his possession. I know you each of you have one thing that you just love more than anything else. For some of you, it's the ratty old teddy bear that you've been holding on to since you were 2 years old. For some of you, it's your iPhone. For some of you, it's I don't even want to know. But we all have our special possession, right? This says that you are God's very own possession. That he cares more about you than he could care about anything else in this world. And as a result, you become a priest of his. In some translations, it says that you enter into this royal priesthood. That all of a sudden, those of you who kind of camp in this area of, "Well, I'm going to let other people do it. I'm not a good speaker. I'm an introvert. I don't like talking in front of people. I'm pretty shy," all this stuff. For those of you who camp into this area right here, this is saying no. This job of sharing goodness is not left to the extroverts, to the people who are good at speaking, to the people who naturally have the gift of evangelism. This job of sharing goodness is not left up to him. This includes you. If you sit here tonight and proclaim that Jesus is the Lord of your life, I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to the person in the seat next to you. I'm talking to you. It is your job, as it says here in 1 Peter, to share the goodness of God. So what does that look like? This question, what does that look like, has been the heartbeat of my ministry here for a long time. I've spent hours, days, and months, and years praying over this, legit crying tears of hope and excitement and frustration over what this could look like. Because what I am doing here tonight, I don't choose to work at a campus ministry because it's fun or it's convenient or I get paid a ton of money. I choose to work at this place because I get to stand in front of an auditorium filled with some of the biggest potential this world has to offer. In these seats tonight, represents teachers and doctors and lawyers, people who will fight for others, missionaries. There's no other place I'd rather be tonight than to encourage the future leaders of the world to go and share God's goodness. We at Encounter, by any means, do not do things perfect. I'm the first one to proclaim that there are flaws in our system, and I know there are, because nobody's going to do it perfect. And if they tell you that they are, don't trust them. But what you're going to see here tonight is our honest and earnest yearning to align with this call of sharing God's goodness. Tonight, I'm going to share with you opportunities that we have in this community, in this campus, to serve. I'm going to share with you opportunities for you to travel around this country and around this world to serve and to experience God's kingdom. And tonight, you have the opportunity to choose whether or not you are going to stay in this camp of excuses. If I'm going to leave that to the person next to me, I'm going to leave that to somebody who's older, maybe a little more better with their words. You have the opportunity tonight to choose which camp you're going to be in, that camp or this camp of the priesthood of all believers. Our service teams, this is an opportunity for you to share this goodness that we talked about, this goodness of hope, this goodness of restoration, this goodness of healing. These are options that you can show regularly. I've never done this before, so. Booyah. Nope. Okay, go back. Yeah, okay. I don't expect you to read all this, but what this is to show you that we have opportunities, this many opportunities, on a regular basis for you to serve and share this goodness. We have opportunities here on campus for you to serve this ministry, to serve the people around you in hospitality, in prayer, in worship, in outreach, in creative media. You have opportunities to serve this community and working with the homeless at Home Sweet Home. You have this opportunity to work with kids, with Big Brother, Big Sister, with GEMS, a single mother's ministry. You have the opportunity to work in the community with people who are underserved and underprivileged, with the Ahava service team. You have the opportunity to work with kids that are in this holding facility at the Juvenile Detention Center. Every single one of these options, you have the opportunity to serve people that you might never meet before. Grease Squad, you see them every single night here on Monday night, and Connections. There are people who are already serving in these areas that want you to come alongside them. I seriously could sit here and talk all night about every single one of these, but what I want you to know with these areas is that this is a no-brainer. If you come here on Monday nights and you stay in your seat in the back or your regular seat or whatever's comfortable for you, and you stay here all year, and you never move a muscle, and you never try to do something out of your comfort zone, you never try to share this goodness that I'm talking about, this is literally hand-picked and given to you, saying each one of these areas has a few leaders. They have leaders who are preparing, making details, or making events, creating opportunities for you to come alongside them and serve in whatever area you're interested in. This is a no-brainer. This camp of excuses that we talk about, that I'm not good enough, I don't know enough, I'm not a good speaker, this literally will shut the door right in front of you, because there are no excuses to do this. People tell me, I'm a college student, I'm busy. It's really funny when freshmen come up to me and say, hey, I was just talking to my wife about this. I'm really, really busy, I'm not sure I can handle X, Y, Z, and I want to sit them down and I want to hold their hand and say, sweet freshman, I am sorry that you are overwhelmed, but I have bad news for you. You got a whole world of hurt coming to you. If you're a freshman and you feel overwhelmed, don't worry. We can help you with that. But what I'm saying is that you will never have this opportunity that you have right now to spend 2 or 4 or 5 or 7 years or whatever it is on this campus. I was just talking with alum the other day saying, hey, I had some really cool experiences at Encounter I'm really grateful for. Life is hard. It's hard to be that intentional. It's hard to serve in the way that I was serving. They said, but I caught a taste of it at Encounter, and I know it's important, and I know I need it in my life, so I'm going to fight for that when I, in my daily life. These service opportunities that you will get a chance to connect with tonight, and you'll get a chance to hear more about and kind of dig deeper into tonight, I'm putting the challenge out there to you. Every single one of you should be doing something like this. If you already have something going in your life, and you're saying, hey, I already serve at XYZ, Perfect. I'm glad that that's happening. I'm guessing for most of you, you probably don't have your year's worth of volunteer hours set yet. Because see, this idea that grace should lead us to his mission, and his mission is sharing his good news. That means that if you're coming here every single Monday night, soaking in this teaching, soaking in this worship, saying, all right, I'm good to go for the week. I'm going to go take on my classes. I'm going to go try to be a good person. If what's happening here is not moving you to share that goodness with someone else, someone here on campus, someone here in this community, there's a misconnection there. We're missing something. Because what should be happening is the Holy Spirit should be entering into your life, getting you pumped up. There should be something inside you that's screaming inside of you that says, I need to share this with somebody. There's a grace poured over my life that I don't deserve. I'm learning. I'm growing. I don't even know what to put words to it. I don't know what it's called, but I think I really should go down and hang out with single moms and their kids this week. I'm putting the challenge out for every single one of you to serve in at least one area this semester. Maybe for some of you, you have enough time in your schedule for two. Maybe that means you're going to pick one on-campus opportunity and one in the community opportunity. Whatever it is, I want you to choose one, and I want you to take it seriously. See, because life is crazy. I talked my last sermon last year, and I got to chat with the freshmen a little bit about it this year. But life will always pull you into this direction of the default mission. It will always pull you into something that's easy, something that's complacent, something that is full of excuses. Unless you live intentionally with sharing the good news, with sharing God's goodness, it will not happen. If you end up at the end of this year just coming to Monday night, sitting in whatever seat you're comfortable in, not talking with anybody, jetting right after worship, not having any attempt to dive in deeper with somebody else, not having any attempt to share this goodness and step into his mission, I promise you, at the end of this year, something's going to be missing. There's going to be a void in your life. I'm not going to say you're going to be miserable. I'm not going to say, you know, you're going to have a horrible year. But what I'm saying, you're going to end the year, and you might have good grades, and you might go home, and your parents might ask you, hey, how was your year? And say, you know, it was all right, but it wasn't great. That void that's missing is sharing God's goodness. Stepping into his mission and sharing his goodness always leads to healing, to restoration, and to growth. In just a little bit, we're going to hand out some flyers, and you're going to have opportunities. We're going to have teams set up in here, in the hallway, and we're going to have you opportunities to go chat with these teams, figure out what they're doing this year, and if you want to sign up to join them in just a little bit. But before that, I'm going to introduce what missions we are doing this year. This is exciting. And some of you in there, you might hear a whisper, because if you're new to this place, I want you to know that, and this is my biased opinion, but a mission trip with us will catapult you into this idea of sharing God's goodness faster, more intensely, and deeper than anything you'll ever do this year. We have opportunities for a whole range of people, for people who have never gone on a mission trip before, for people who have grown up in the church and have gone on every mission trip. We have options for every one of you. I spend a big portion of my year praying for what I'm going to reveal to you tonight and where we're going and what we're doing. And I'm super excited to throw this out to you and share this opportunity for you to come alongside us as we go and share this God's goodness on a bigger level. I spent some time this summer praying about splitting up our categories of mission trips. We do a lot of different types of trips. And so our first section of trips is mission trips. And so these are built to establish or to come along established organizations in an effort to encourage, support, and physically assist with their mission. Most of these trips include a combination of labor, relational, and evangelism work. These trips include long hours, hard work, and an opportunity to learn from those you are serving. This might be what's in your mind when I say the word mission trip. The trips that fall into this category this year, I'll explain in just a little bit, but they're fun. They're a lot of work. You're going to go to bed every night tired and ready to go to bed, but your heart's going to be fuller than what you can imagine. You will grow closer to people on this trip in 7 days than you will ever grow in a full year on this campus, because God does something when you take a step out and you give all of yourself emotionally and physically and spiritually. He does something to make up the rest of that. Our vision trips are designed to help students explore a potential call to full-time missionary work. Participants see mission work up close, encounter a new culture, and spend quality time with current missionaries. These trips, I want to be a good steward of my resources here, knowing that there are people in this room right now that have considered what would it look like to work in ministry or work in missions after college. You might be going for a degree, a certain degree, but there might be a tug on your heart for something more. These trips are designed for me to take you somewhere in this world where we can expose you and prepare you and see if that's really what God's calling in your life. And lastly, our exposure trips are meant to open students' eyes to global issues that they may have otherwise never seen firsthand. This firsthand experience draws us closer to the Father as we begin to understand his heart for the world beyond our doorstep and help us become lifetime advocates of these new exposures. Reality is, the world is a lot bigger than Bloomington Normal. A lot of you in this room may have never been on a plane before, may have never left the Midwest before. I promise you, the first time my eyes were open was going across the world to the Philippines. I'd been out of this country before, I'd done a lot of stuff before, but standing literally across the whole world, sitting in the South China Sea, my world has completely changed, realizing that there's stuff happening that I would never, ever be able to see back home. Our first trip is Winter Mission Trip. Winter Mission Trip is in the category of our mission trip section. This is at the end of our winter break. This is the perfect opportunity because y'all get a lot of time for winter break. 4 weeks. It doesn't sound like a lot, but by the time this trip comes, you're going to want to be leaving your parents. Trust me. It's true. This is a big trip. We get to take 50 students. And so for those of you who are looking for an opportunity to grow closer with this big group, you will do that. This is this trip for a large amount of people is people's first door into something bigger. Many people's first mission trips is Winter Mission Trip. We go down to the coast of Mississippi, and we partner with missionaries who are down there. They started there when Hurricane Katrina happened, and they stayed down there. And they're doing amazing, incredible things with spiritual rebuilding down on the coast that we get to partner with. Because we take a huge group of people, we get to do work that they never would have been able to do by themselves. We get to do physical labor. We get to put on camps for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kids. We get to send future teachers into classrooms to work alongside teachers. There's opportunities that we get to do on this trip just because we have 50 people that you really can't do any other time. This is an incredible opportunity. I love this trip. Next is the Paid Forward Tour. This trip is the trip that I was talking about, the spring break trip that Tim and Greg invited me on at the University of Minnesota when I was on a bus with 40 people and I prayed and accepted Jesus into my life happened on this trip. Crazy thing about this trip, it's not a Christian trip. This is not a trip put on by Encounter. This is not a trip led by me or anyone. This is a trip, a service trip, that leaves from ISU. What you do is you stop at 5 cities along the way to the celebration city. Each city you do a different type of service. And so one city you might be doing environmental restoration. One city you might be working with the elderly. You might be working with kids in the next city, or kiddies, I guess, too. This trip might be our biggest opportunity to show goodness that you will ever have this year. And I'm super excited about our ways to mobilize that. This year, each one of our interns are going on this trip and they're taking teams with them. And so what I'm asking for you guys to consider is, would you consider on your spring break committing to going on a bus full of non-Christians with the hope of going alongside them, serving in cities you've never been to, and sharing the good news, not only with the people that you're serving, but with the people that you're serving alongside. Sometimes when we do this well, our largest encounter ever are the weeks after the Paid Forward Tour. When you spend a week serving and growing, engaging with the people around you, and you go and you bring all your friends to Encounter, and all of a sudden, God's doing some crazy things with people who would never step in here otherwise. There are more opportunities on this trip than we can ever imagine. Consider spending your spring break doing the Paid Forward Tour. May Mission Trip is an incredible opportunity to step outside our comfort zone. Each year, we do a trip that focuses on an urban subject. Last year, we had the opportunity to send a team to Louisville and work with refugees in that community. This year, we get to go back to Louisville and do the same thing. Last year, I had opportunity to chat with the people who went on this team on this trip last year. People experienced stuff that they never have before, being pulled out of their comfort zone in areas of prayer, in areas of engaging with others, in areas of seeing cultures that they've never been in contact with before. They got to pray over and see and encourage refugees from all around the world. This is right after school ends in May. It is possibly the cheapest mission trip you will ever find in your life. $250 covers everything. This year, we are going to Cambodia. We went on our first trip to Cambodia 3 or 4 years ago, and I was able to be on that trip. This is one of our exposure trips. When we were in Cambodia, we're going to be working with Rafa House. And Rafa House specifically works with girls who are rescued from sex trafficking. And so when we get to go there, we get to visit three of their safe houses, three of their organizations, or three different cities that Rafa House is currently in. And firsthand experience being able to go and to dance with this little girl. She was 4 years old, the youngest girl at this place, knowing she was rescued from sex trafficking. I was able to dance with her at this party that they were having. And I was slow dancing with her, and I was looking down at this little girl, and I was thinking, and I was praying over her just silently. And I was thinking, Lord, I have no idea what this girl has seen or experienced, but Lord, may you redeem and restore her in ways this world can never happen before. I will never be the same person again. I hold my little baby girl now, thinking that I pray that my baby girl will never experience what that baby girl has to experience, but that my baby girl would have a heart so big for that baby girl over there that she would pray for her, that they would know the realities of what this world is doing to little girls all around the world. Rafa House is an incredible organization, and we get to go and come alongside them for a few weeks as we encourage and love these kids that are rescued from sex trafficking. This is an absolutely one-in-a-lifetime experience. Our new trip for 2017-2018 is going to Germany, Freiburg, Germany, in May 2018. We currently have five students from Encounter that are in Freiburg, Germany right now studying abroad. And what they are doing now is they are at the very beginning processes of launching a campus ministry. In May 2018, campus ministry in Freiburg, Germany is launching their very first welcome week. So what a lot of you got to experience here at Encounter, the cookouts, the events, the people inviting you into something bigger, students at in Freiburg in Germany are going to experience that very same thing. The reality is almost all of the population of Germany has never met a Christian before. My hope is to take 10 students with me to Germany in May of 2018, and I want to throw the best welcome week that we could ever imagine for that ministry. I want to kick off their first real year of ministry in ways that they couldn't do on their own. What I'm looking for this trip, if you can see, it falls into the category of vision trips. If there's anybody in here who has ever had a tinge of thought of saying, what would it look like to do ministry after college? If your life has been changed at all by being here, by being a part of this ministry, I think you're included in that. Maybe the thought scares you to death that maybe God's calling me to something bigger than I could be thinking of. I want to take 10 students who are going to take this step of faith to go with me across the world and launch this ministry into some incredible stuff. I've said it before and I'll say it again. God has a tendency to bless teams, to bless people, to bless the courage to take a step of faith and saying, I'm going into uncharted territories. I have no idea what it's going to look like. First year trips will always have the hand of God over them, and they'll always be special and unique in that way because God has a tendency of going before people who respond to his call. Germany, 2018. Last opportunity is something we launched last year. I mentioned there's five people in Germany right now. We have alumni from this ministry who are campus ministers in Germany and Spain. My heart for this ministry is to send teams every single year to study abroad in Germany and Spain, to come alongside these campus ministers. And what you get to do is you get to study abroad. You get to get some credits taken care of, do the school, but then you get to come along and experience campus ministry in an international setting. And you get to do what we're doing here, but more intentionally. They're going to put you to work. They're going to give you responsibilities. They're going to give you leadership. And you will come back a changed person. You will come back grown, and you will come back with a new mindset to take on whatever God has planned for you here at ISU. If you are a Spanish major or minor and need to get some stuff taken care of, let's send you to Spain. If you're looking for an opportunity to see the world, to see Europe, to see what campus ministry, international campus ministry looks like, let's send you to Germany or both or whatever. We'll see. More info about this coming up. That's a lot to put on your plate for right now. What I want you to do is we're going to have people come down with flyers, and you can come down right now, and they're going to hand you the information of everything I just talked about, all the service groups, all the mission trips, and what I want you to do is as they hand this out to you, grab one, pass it down, and I want you to take a look at this information. We'll put the lights up a little bit in just a second, but I want to give you 3 minutes, okay? I want you for 3 minutes to look at this list. I want you to look at the list and see what these opportunities are. I want you to circle the people that you're going to talk to tonight, saying, okay, I think I need to talk to the Juvenile Detention Center, or I think I need to talk to the Creative Media people, or the Greed Squad people, or okay, I'm definitely going to go to think about Cambodia. 3 minutes. Take a look at those. If you need to do some silent prayer inside your seat right there, lights will come up here in just a second. If, Ben, you want to turn on the lights, go ahead and pray over those, and then I'll release you in just a few minutes.